Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is now 13 minutes past the hour of 9. Welcome to Radio Islam. My name is Muhammad Bamin. I'll be your host this morning until 10 a.m. inshallah. Joining us online we have Morana Zahir Ahmed Raghi. Morana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And we take this opportunity of greeting our listeners on Radio Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Morana, we're busy with the story of Surah Al-Kahf. We started Surah Al-Kahf many months back, where we did the introduction of Surah Al-Kahf. And in our last few weeks, we started with the first story which Allah mentions in Surah Al-Kahf, and that is of the people of the cave. And we reached the ayat that we mentioned also last week, that the beginning of all great things will always begin with dua. And then we started with the ayat فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ آذَانِهِمْ فِي الْكَهْفِ سِنِينَ عَدَدًا. That is, the fur in this ayat, it illustrates the cause, that because they made this dua, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did. And then Allah put a barrier, so no sound would wake these ashabi kahf up, and the sleep is impossible to disturb once sound is taken out. And Allah also mentioned that we petted them, showing them love. Then we did about Sinina Adada. This shows that many years, Allah doesn't mention the exact amount of years in this ayat. Allah just says many years, and we see that Allah uses the word Sinin, and this comes that it shows that it's a tough year, instead of using the word Am, which is not such a tough year. The Christians had given various numbers to this number of years that the Ashabi Kahf has slept. And then we mentioned that there's three things that this ayat mentions, that dua is heading towards the cave, then the set inside when they fell asleep, and what happens when they wake up. And this is the synopsis of the story which is given first before Allah mentions the story itself. Manana?
Yes, Manana. You want me to continue from here, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Yes, Manana, as we have rightly, subhanallah, concluded very well by where we had concluded with our discussion last week, the story that we are discussing is the first story of Surah Kahf, which is the story commonly known as the sleepers of the cave. And Allah began transmitting details from the opening passage to the story of the people of the cave, and telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the story of the people of the cave, for them sleeping so many years, is actually not that strange in the broad scheme of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power. And then Allah gave us three scenes in the first three ayah, 9, 10, and 11, where in the first one is they make dua as they are heading towards the cave. And this has been a major event in the story as to how did they get to the cave to begin with. Then the second scene and the second stage is they made it to the cave and sat inside, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them off to sleep. And then the third major part is that what happens when they wake up. And this is the next ayah. And in these three ayah is the entire story of the people of the cave. However, the story will go on until ayah number 26, where Allah gives full details after giving a synopsis of the story. So by ayah number 12, what you need to know is that. And in ayah 12, Allah says, ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِنَعْلَمَ أَيُّ الْحِزْبَيْنِ أَحْصَى لِمَا لَبِثُوا أَمَدًا. Allah says, thereafter, after we put them to sleep, we raised them up so that we know which of the two groups had better calculated the period in which they remained sleeping. Now by this ayah, what you need to know is done. The complete synopsis is complete by ayah number 12. And the rest of the ayah from ayah number 13 to 26 actually explores what details happened in the story of the people of the cave. So let's now just discuss the 12th ayah of the surah. Allah says, ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِنَعْلَمَ أَيُّ الْحِزْبَيْنِ أَحْصَى لِمَا لَبِثُوا أَمَدًا. And this is what we are going to discuss today, inshallah. Allah says, thereafter. Now, a very important and a significant word to remember here is thumma, and I'll come back to this. Allah says thumma, thereafter. We raise them up so that we know which of the two groups had better calculated the period in which they were sleeping, or in which they remained sleeping. And this is the final ayah of the synopsis of the story. Allah used the word thumma. The use of the word thumma means that there is a contrast being drawn between the use of the word thumma and the use of the word fa. If you remember, when Allah spoke about when He put them all to sleep, Allah said, فَدَرَبْنَا. The word fa before darabna, فَدَرَبْنَا. And in this ayah, Allah uses the word thumma. And basically, if you translate the two in the English language, it can be translated as then and thereafter. But the beauty of the Arabic language is that the word fa denotes immediacy. That immediately when they went into the cave and when they made the dua, immediately as a response of the dua, Allah put them off to sleep. However, the word fa, thumma, actually denotes a delayed reaction. So the use of the word fa in the 11th ayah suggests immediacy in response to the dua, and it was a result of the dua that what had taken place. Allah said, فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ آذَانِهِمْ ayah number 11, that so we sealed up the hearing, putting them off to sleep in the cave for a number of years. And thumma denotes and suggests delay in something that happens after a while. So Allah's answer to the dua was immediate. That as soon as they made dua, Allah responded to their dua and put them off to sleep, and that is understood just by the word fa, فَضَرَبْنَا. However, in the word ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَا, thereafter we raise them, it means there are many years between when Allah put them to sleep and when He raised them. And the meaning and implication of ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ means that after some time, Allah raised them. Now, how beautifully Allah captured this picture and the story in this ayah. Because the purpose of the story is to establish the idea of resurrection after death. The purpose of this picture and the purpose of the story, one of the purpose, is to establish the idea of life after death. And Allah used the word ba'atha purposefully, instead of saying He woke them up. Because ba'atha is used in the Quran for waking up after death and after resurrection. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did this purposefully so that people would realize that our waking up is directly associated with a resurrection after death. And it is said in two contexts as far as people's resurrection. It is used, the word ba'atha, it is used for someone who has been resurrected or someone who has been made to stand after he was sleeping. And this is a common question in the Quran, a common theme in the Quran. Are we really going to be risen from the dead and woken up? Now the word mab'uth from the word ba'atha is someone who could not have gotten up themselves. You had to go and wake them up, or you have to go and appoint them. And this is something very beautiful here, that them waking up after so many years actually is giving us an imagery of our life. When we sleep and we get up, it is a means by which we can have the understanding of life after death. And the relationship between sleep and death is a very beautiful study in Islam. And the Quran deals with these two, sleep and death, when it gives parallels. Allah says in the Quran, يَتَوَفَّ الْأَنفُسَ حِينَ مَوْتِهَا. Allah takes people's nafs at the time of the death. And then He immediately after that starts talking about sleep. That even in the sleep, Allah removes their nafs in a particular way. On the other hand, you find even the dua that we make when we wake up from our sleep, subhanAllah, has so much reference to this whole concept of waking up after our sleep and life after death. The dua that we make when we get up from our sleep, Alhamdulillahi alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur. All praise is due to Allah who has given us life after our death. And to Him is the resurrection. This is a dua that we make when we get up in the morning or whenever we wake up from our sleep in this world. that we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana, who has given us life after our death. And in reality, we've just slept for a few hours. But we are referencing that sleep to life after death. So we praise Allah who has given us life after our death. And to Him is our return. To Him is our the resurrection. Wa ilayhi nushur. So we associate our sleep and waking up with resurrection every day. And this is something that we need to keep in our mind. That our association of our sleep and our waking up with resurrection every day. For the people of the cave, they woke up miraculously from centuries of sleep. And this is supposed to be a miracle that we experience every day in our life. When someone has come back to life, Quran refers to them as khalqun jadid, a new creation. Now this has a very powerful implication. Because if we are a new creation when we wake up, then what we did in our previous life should no longer haunt us. What we are doing in our current life, what we did in our previous life should not haunt us what we did do in our current life. And every day would be a new life for a Muslim. Every morning when we wake up, supposed to be a new life for us. And therefore we make this dua that we praise Allah who has given us life after death. So you have a fresh start every time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the opportunity to wake up in the morning. There are people who cannot let go of their past. There are people that have bad habits. They can't let go of, or they've made mistakes and they can't get over them. The spiritual response in Islam is you just woke up this morning. And this is a new life for you. Every day is a new life. And the ultimate new life when the resurrection happens on the day of Qiyamah. People wake up and realize they had made mistakes in the past and they wish they could go back. But that is a wish that is being granted every day to us. That is the only one day of resurrection that won't be granted is on the day of Qiyamah. But every day in our lives in this world is an opportunity that you can go back and enjoy that opportunity every day. And every day before we go to bed, to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance, that we are now entering a new life. We go to bed and in the morning when we make this dua, where we praise Allah who has given us a new life. And a new life we will begin afresh, turning a new page in our life towards the betterment of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is a very powerful concept in Islam. The idea that nobody is beyond hope and everybody has an opportunity of starting a fresh life. Subhanallah, what a beautiful concept in Islam. That nobody is beyond hope. Everyone should not, no one of us should lose hope. And every day, each one of us has an opportunity of starting a fresh life. Therefore Allah says, ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِنَعْلَمَ أَيُّ الْحِزْبَيْنِ أَحْصَى لِمَا لَبِثُ أَمَدَ in this ayah. Thereafter we raise them up so that we know which of the two groups had better calculated the period in which they remained sleeping. Now the meaning of the word لِنَعْلَمَ أَيُّ الْحِزْبَيْنِ and the implications. So that we could know which of the two groups. Now the ulama and the mufassirin have given very lots of examples as to who these two groups are being talked about in the Quran. Allah said, so that we know which of the two groups had better count of the number of years that they were sleeping. Now Allah did not directly identify who is referenced in which of the two groups. And ulama and mufassirin have given various meanings of that. Allama Alusi in Ruhul Ma'ani has listed the different opinions. And none of the opinions mentioned are actually sacred because none of them come from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. These were just thoughts and interpretations of people that were trying to make sense of this ayah. Their different opinions are based on evidence that was or is before them. Now, we'll come back to this. Now, you have three ayah that were the synopsis of the story, ayah number 10, 11, and 12. And the beauty is that the 13th ayah, Allah is now telling us, Allah is saying, now we are going to tell you what accurately happened to them. Allah gave a synopsis in three ayah, ayah number 9, 10, and 11, or 10, 11, and 12. And after giving the synopsis, he says, Allah says, now let me tell you what actually happened. Subhanallah, it's a very beautiful way of relating a story. In the beginning, you give a synopsis of the whole story, and then you go into the details of the whole story. So Allah is saying, Nahnu, in ayah number 13, Nahnu naqussu alayka naba'ahum bilhaq, innahum fityatun amanu birabbihim wazidnahum huda. Nahnu naqussu alayka naba'ahum bilhaq. Now we narrate to you the story with truth. We narrate to you the story with truth. نحن نقص عليك نبأهم بالحق. إنهم فتية آمنوا بربهم وزدناهم هدى. These were young men who believed in their Allah, who believed in their Rabb. وزدناهم هدى, and we gave them more hidayah. We gave them more guidance. Now, bilhaq in this ayah, نحن نقص عليك نبأهم بالحق. We narrate to you the story with truth. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use the word here, with truth? In other words, Allah is saying He will tell the story. Allah will tell the story accurately and for a real purpose. There are three parts of the story. They are heading to the cave, making dua. They go to sleep in the cave. They wake up and Allah wants to see who has better count. These three parts are further explained from ayah 14 to 16. Is actually a tafsir of the 10th ayah. Now, the 10th ayah where Allah said, إِذْ أَوَى الْفِتْيَةَ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ فَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. When the young man took refuge in the cave and said, Our Lord, bless us with mercy from your side and provide us with guidance. And what it was that led them to that prayer and what happened that led them to the cave, the details of that begins with ayah 17 to 18. Or rather from ayah 13 onwards. And from ayah 17 to 18 is actually a tafsir of ayah 11 where Allah said, we put them to sleep. And we will tell what happened while they were asleep is actually from ayah number 19 to 22 is a tafsir of the 12th ayah, ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِنَعْلَمَ أَيُّ الْحِزْبَيْنِ أَحْصَى لِمَا لَبِثُوا أَمَدًا. Now, I've just given you these details of how Allah expanded on this ayah. So Allah says, إِذْ أَوَى الْفِتْيَةَ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ, we spoke about that. Now, before the prayer, Allah gives you details from ayah number 14 to 16. And the details are as follows. What we will do now, Maulana, just for the benefit of our listeners, that very quickly we will go through these ayahs where Allah just mentions to us the details, and we won't go into the deep details of these ayah. Allah says, before they made the dua, وَرَبَتْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ إِذْ قَامُوا فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَنَّ دُعَى مِنْ دُونِهِ إِلَهًا لَقَدْ قُلْنَا إِذًا شَطَطًا. We made their hearts firm when they stood up. When they stood up against the government and against the king, Allah said, we made their hearts firm. Our Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. And they pronounce very clearly to the people that our Rabb is the Rabb of the heavens and the earth. And we shall never invoke any other than Him. And if we do so, it will be, we are saying something far from the truth. Allah then says, هَؤُلَاءِ قَوْمُنَا اتَّخَذُوا مِنْ دُونِهِ آلِهَةً لَوْلَا يَأْتُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِالسُّلْطَانِ بَيِّنٍ فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا. They then said to the people and the nation that these, our people, هؤلاء, our people, اتخذوا من دونه آلهة, have adopted gods other than him. لولا يأتون عليهم بسلطان. Why do they not bring a clear proof in their favor? If they have someone else, ask them to bring some proof. فمن أظلم ممن افترى على الله كذبا. Who is more unjust than the one who fabricates lies against Allah? And ayah number 16, وَإِذَا اَعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَأُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ يَنْشُرُ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ وَهَيِّئْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِرْفَقًا. When you have turned away from them, and those whom they worship, talking about the young men of the cave, that when they turned away from them, and those whom the people were worshipping except Allah, then seek refuge in the cave, and your Lord will extend His mercy to you and provide you ease in your matters. This was what had happened before they made the dua. Allah gives us a picture and a scene of what had happened. They were asked to follow the king in the worship of someone other than Allah, and they refused to do that. And they actually asked the people to provide proof of the existence of someone besides Allah, and they were not able to provide the proof. And because they stood firm on Tawheed, and they stood firm on the deen of Islam, Allah provided them the opportunity to be guided towards truth. And we learn from this part that in the test of faith, one needs to be firm and steadfast on his deen. And if you remain steadfast and rely on Allah, Allah provides you the necessary strength to stand up to those challenges. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ayah number 11 talks about how He put them off to sleep. And during the sleep, what had happened has been explained from ayah number 17 to 18. And Allah says in these ayah, and it's also how very beautifully, concisely Allah describes what had happened. Allah says, وَتَرَى الشَّمْسِ إِذَا تَلَعَتْ تَزَاوَرُ أَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَإِذَا غَرَبَتْ تَقْرِضُهُمْ ذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ وَهُمْ فِي فَجْوَةٍ مِّنْهِ ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِ وَمَنْ يُدْلِلْ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ وَلِيًّا مُرْشِدًا. Allah says, when they went to sleep, and when He put them off to sleep, ayah number 17, you would see the sun. Then it rose, turning away from their cave towards the right. And when it set, it bypassed them towards the left. And they were lying in the hollow of that cave. That is one of the signs of Allah. Whomsoever Allah guides is the one who gets the right path, and whomsoever He lets go astray from Him, you will find no one to help and no one to lead. In this ayah, Allah describes that while they were in the hollow of the cave, Allah's miracle was such that He made the sun come over them morning and evening, that they benefited from sunlight and the various benefits of sunlight, that in spite of the deep sleep and in spite of them being in the hollow of the cave, Allah provided for them such a position that they were still benefiting from the environment and sunlight which is required for people to continue living. Because when things are kept in dark, total darkness, there is lots of decay that takes place. And the benefit of sunlight prevents decay. And that is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing. Then Allah says in ayah number 18, وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ أَيْقَاظٌ وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِطٌ ذِرَاعَيْهِ بِالْوَسِيطِ لَوِ اطَّلَعْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ لَوَلَّيْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِرَارًا وَلَمُلِئْتَ مِنْهُمْ رُعْبًا. And you would think, if you went past, you would think that they were awake while they were asleep. In other words, their position of sleep was made in such a way that anyone who went past the cave would have actually thought that these people are awake. We turned them on their sides, right and left. In other words, in this deep 300 and odd years of their sleep, it was not a still sleep without movement. They were provided with movement of turning right and left. And again, those of us know that when one sleeps in a particular fashion, one way, it creates decay when there's no sunlight, and it also creates things that we call bed sores and all that. So Allah maintained movement for them, maintained the flow of blood for them, and Allah made it such that they were turning right and left. And the dog had its forelegs stretched out to the doorstep. If you had a look at them, Allah says, if you had a look at them, you would have fled away from them and would have been filled with awe of them. Then Allah comes with the 12th ayah, ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِنَعْلَمَ أَيُّ الْحِزْبَيْنِ أَحْصَى لِمَا لَبِثُوا أَمَدًا. Thereafter we raise them up so that we know which of the two groups had better calculated the period in which they remained. Now what had happened after they woke up? So the details of ayah number 12 has been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from ayah number 19 to 22. And this is a beautiful way of relating a story. Allah says, once they got up, Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِيَتَسَاءَلُوا بَيْنَهُمْ قَالَ قَائِلُ مِنْكُمْ كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ قَالُوا لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْدَ يَوْمٍ. In this way, we raised them up until they asked each other. One of them said, how long did you tarry? How long did you sleep? And some of them said, a day or a part of a day. And in this, they were having a discussion among themselves. قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ. They asked, how long did we sleep? قَالُوا لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْدَ يَوْمٍ. Some said, maybe a day or a part of a day. But when they realized that there is difference of opinion among themselves, and they don't really know the actual count, some of them said, رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِثْتُمْ. You know what? It's not important how long we slept. Allah knows best how long we slept. But what's really important now is they said that we are actually hungry. After this long sleep, we are now hungry. And they said, فَبْأَثُوا أَحَدَكُمْ بِوَرِقِكُمْ هَذِهِ إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ. Let's send one of you with this few coins that we have to the city. And let him look around which of the eatables are purest, and let him bring some food from there. Subhanallah. And the way they had this discussion has so much lessons in it. They say that let's send someone, فَبْأَثُوا أَحَدَكُمْ بِوَرِقِكُمْ هَذِهِ إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ فَلْيَنْذُرْ أَيُّهَا أَزْكَى طَعَامًا. Let's see who among us can go and get for us some good, pure food. أَزْكَى طَعَامًا. Pure halal food. فَلْيَأْتِكُمْ بِرِزْقٍ مِّنْهُ. So that they can bring for us some risk. However, they also said, وَلْيَتَلَطَّفْ وَلَا يُشْعِرَنَّ بِكُمْ أَحَدًا. However, when we go into the city to go and buy food, remember they ran away. And they ran away from a community that was after them. But now they don't have food, so they need to go in back into the same city to go and buy food. And they did not realize that 300 years has passed since they were asleep. And they are still of the opinion and the thought that the people of the city are going to be the same people whom we ran away from. So when you go into the city, act in a polite manner. وَلْيَتَلَطَّفْ وَلَا يُشْعِرَنَّ. And don't go in a way that people will recognize us who we are. إِنَّهُمْ إِن يَظْهَرُوا عَلَيْكُمْ يَرْجُمُوكُمْ أَوْ يُعِيدُوكُمْ فِي مِلَّتِهِمْ وَلَن تُفْلِحُوا إِذًا أَبَدًا. And they talk in among themselves that if we now send one of our companions to the city and they make it known that who we are, the inhabitants of the city will know about us and they will force you to revert to their faith. And in that case, we will never be successful. In other words, if we go there and they know who we are, they are going to force us to go against Tawheed. So go in a such a way, very discreetly, don't let them recognize who we are, go and buy some good food for us. وَكَثَالِكَ أَعْثَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٍّ. Ayah number 21, Allah says, and in this way, we made them known to the people of the city, so that they realize that Allah's promise is true, and that there is no doubt about the hour, the day of resurrection. When they were disputing among themselves in this matter, they said, erect a building over them. Their Lord knows them best. said, those who prevailed in the matter, we will certainly make a mosque over them. This is ayah number 21. Allah is actually making mention that when they went there, and he left out some details, the people there, when they presented the coins, they said, you know, what coins are these? These coins are no more in circulation. From where are you? And the young man then spoke to the shopkeeper, and the shopkeeper then said, Subhanallah, you are from the people of the sleepers of the cave. We've heard about this from our ancestry. And then he took them to the king. And Allah says, وَكَذَٰلِكَ, in this way, we made them known to the people of the city, so that they realize that Allah's promise is true. And what is this promise of Allah? That there is no doubt about the day of Qiyamah. It was a time when the people had a debate in the city about the reality of life after death. And the young men coming there and being in the awakened state after 309 years was a perfect picture and an example of how Allah can give back life after such a long period of death. And this was a means by which Allah had re-established among the people of the city the concept of Qiyamah. And therefore Allah says, and in this way we made them known to the people of the city, so that they realize that Allah's promise is true and there is no doubt about the hour of the day of Qiyamah. And then what had happened, whatever happened, whether they went back to sleep or Allah gave them the natural death thereafter, the people of the city began disputing among themselves about what to do here. And Allah says that they had a dispute in this matter, and they said, let's build over them a masjid. And some of them said, their Lord knows them best, said those who prevailed in the matter, we will certainly make a mosque over them. In other words, we will build a masjid here so that people can remember this. This is how Allah brings about the details. Then in the last ayah about the details is ayah number 22, where Allah brings the discussion among the people. سَيَقُولُونَ ثَلَاثَةٌ رَابِعُهُمْ كَلْبُهُمْ وَيَقُولُونَ خَمْسَةٌ سَادِسُهُمْ كَلْبُهُمْ. Some will say, and this is also beautiful, that the word that Allah has used here is in the future tense. Sayakulun, they will say, not they said, meaning the discussion of the people of the cave will continue to remain alive. For long period and up to this day today, on Radio Islam, we are still talking about that. So Allah has said, Sayakulun, this is another miracle of the Quran. Allah said, in the future people will say, some will say, they were three, the fourth of them being their dog. And some will say, they were five, the sixth of them being their dog. And all what they are saying is just conjecture, they don't really know. And others will say, seven, the eighth of them is their dog. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ رَبِّي أَعْلَمُ بِعِدَّتِهِمْ مَا يَعْلَمُهُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ فَلَا تُمَارِ فِيهِمْ إِلَّا مِرَاءً ظَاهِرًا وَلَا تَسْتَفْتِ فِيهِمْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is now addressed in this ayah that say, my Allah knows best about their number. No one knows them except a few. So do not argue about these things except an apparent argumentation. And do not ask anyone of these about them. Now this is, subhanallah, an incredible, remarkable organization of the story. So Allah in this ayah says, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ نَبَأَهُمْ. He is going to tell the story bilhaq, which is accurately and with purpose. And from the ayah number 23 to 26, where the story ends, is going to be a description about how people forgot the purpose of the story and started debating about how many they were and how long they stayed and how they left track of the purpose is actually a tafsir of ayah number 13. And if you look at it from that perspective, Allah is telling us, He wants us to see who has better count. Words in the Quran are not accidental. And the tafsir of this ayah, لِنَعْلَمَ أَيُّ الْحِزْبَيْنِ أَحْصَى لِمَا لَبِثُوا أَمَدًا. The words are paralleled. On the one hand, Allah is testing, and here they are asking each other. And then you have two groups that have two answers. And Allah is explicitly telling you, one ayah is tied to the other. There is an association made by Allah Himself directly. And Allah wants us to see which group has more accurate count. The word Allah has used, the word Ahsa. And Ahsa actually is, in the Arabs, in the previous times, they used to have a sack, or they used to have a bottle. And every time they count, they used to put a pebble in the bottle or in the sack, so that they don't mess up the count. And that is Ahsa, to have the accurate count. So Ahsa suggests that who has the right answer, has the most accurate and precise answer and depiction of what had happened. Now if you look at this ayah that has the answer to this question, that who among them had the better count and the best count, which group will have the more accurate answer, and what is the most accurate answer about how many and how many years, the most accurate answer is that Allah knows how long you've slept. Allahu a'lamu bima labithtum. Allah knows best, and that's the more accurate answer. When you are usually looking for an accurate answer, you are looking for something specific, down to the hour, down to the minute. And Allah make us think about accuracy just by using the word ahsa. But yet He refused to tell us the accurate number Himself. And what did He say? He just said, Allah knows best. And the group that won and passed the test is the one that said, Allah knows, we don't. What we are learning here is that sometimes the most accurate and the most appropriate response in issues where there are debates is, Allah knows better. Sometimes it is not only the best response, but it's also the only response. And it's also a matter of pride for Allah when we say, Wallahu a'lam, Allah knows best. So when Allah does things, it is for a grand purpose. And He does not do them purposelessly. There is a purpose why Allah keeps certain things in the way He has kept it. This ayah says, Allah put these young men to sleep. They slept for some years. He finally resurrected them. And He resurrected them for a grand purpose. And the grand purpose mentioned in this ayah is to know which one has better count. But that doesn't sound like a great purpose of who has the better count. But no human being can provide the real purpose. It can only come from Allah. He made this ayah and made us dependent on reading the rest of the account and the tafsir of this ayah, specifically, which will come later in the third section of the story, so that we can understand the full picture. Well, I think we can end up here, or I'll just carry on a little bit more. Allah said, Ayyul Hizbain. The word Allah used is Hizb. Now, Hizb is normally used for the youth of the cave are young people, and when they woke up and wondered how long they were sleeping, the argument got a bit a debate, and then the next ayah that comes is basically saying, who cares about how long we slept? Let's just go get something, let's get some money. And then they were deciding and picking someone who knew all the good spots and restaurants and someone who is smart with money, and won't over-purchase things and won't make a scene because one of them has a short temper, etc. And this is the way Allah decides and relates to us the story. And the lessons we learn here is that in all these issues, Allah is the one that knows best, and we should not go into the details that are unnecessary. And the greatest lesson that we learned here is, in times of challenge, first and most important is, have faith in Allah, take the necessary steps, turn towards Allah in dua, and then leave the rest in Allah's hands. And also remember that our life in this world should not be a life that is so much focused on materialism and secularism, which is irreligiousness, but rather maintain the concept of akhirah, the concept of accountability, the concept of life after death. And that was the real purpose for which this story was related in the Quran, where Allah says, we brought them back into life so that the people of the city may know that the promise of Allah about life after death is a reality. I think we'll conclude here with our discussion, Maulana.
Jazakallah for your time, much appreciated. Inshallah, we hope to speak to Maulana next week, Wednesday again.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
It brings to the end of today's episode. Until we meet again, from myself, Muhammad Bamin, my engineer. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.